This is ArtBeat, WMUK's weekly look at creativity and the arts in Southwest Michigan. I'm Zinta A-Stars. When Pamela Hadley walks into a dark room, she sees things. A sliver of light, the curve of a shadow. The Chicago resident is a future artist at the Prairie Rond Artist Residency in Vicksburg. It brings artists inside an empty paper mill. Hadley says she'll bring light into the darkness there, too. Pamela, you're a digital film and light artist. What is that? Explain what that means.
Well, I work mostly with projected light, and it comes from a digital source as opposed to just a regular light bulb. And the imagery being projected is extremely minimal, abstract animation, technically. So it's a simple shape like a line or a geometric shape, just moving very, very slowly across an object, a space. But the point is to look at the quality of the light and how it reveals material qualities of the space or the object in a reciprocal way so that we see things we weren't seeing before.
You know, I was looking at your website and some other sites out there that feature your work online to get an idea, and it's quite haunting and mesmerizing. You watch this, usually just a sliver of light, like you said, and it makes you look at whatever it is you're looking at in a different way, which I guess is the whole point. As your perspective changes, as your vantage point might change, or as the light moves, what you see is quite different moment to moment. Talk about perception theory. You talk about that on your website. Explain what that is.
The main writer that I've come across with it is a philosopher named Maurice Merleau-Ponty, who is obviously French, in the early mid-1900s. And basically what he talks about is our vision faculties are very much controlled by how our brain filters information. So what our senses, well, it's not just vision, but I primarily deal with vision. Mm-hmm. What our senses pick up, and it's really, you know, a evolutionary survival technique that if we had to deal with every piece of every sound we heard, everything our skin touched, everything we smelled, if we had to pay attention to all of those things all the time, we'd kind of go crazy. Uh-huh. So our brain filters it out based on efficiency. So there are lots of things that we see that our eye picks up on, but we don't actually see in our vision because our brain filters it out. So that's what I'm interested in with my work is how do we get people to see what their eyes are already picking up, but they're not registering.
That blend of eye and mind in what we perceive.
Absolutely.
The way I think about it is you can have 100 people looking at the same thing, and every one of them is probably going to come away and describe it a little differently.
Exactly. And then maybe colloquial way of saying it, there are times when people will be like, oh, you point something out, and then they say, oh, I can't unsee that now.
Yeah.
Things that you never would have seen if someone didn't point it out, and then you're like, I can't not see that.
This is ArtBeat on WMUK. I'm Zinta A-Stars.
Another word for work like mine is that it's feminological. And in the discourse about this type of work, including like minimalist sculpture and light and space movement, something that I've become really interested in is the argument for including empirical discovery in that conversation rather than art theory as it exists now, it being that language usually fails to really communicate what happens in those situations. We don't really have words for what our mind is dealing with in those situations yet.
Hmm. What did you study in Chicago? What type of art forms, or did you take all kinds of art forms? And how did this capture your attention over other mediums?
Well, my background is painting and drawing. I used to do portraiture, really photorealistic, as well as abstract, but I used to do really realistic rendering. And I started getting into digital imagery, taking a photo and then putting it through an early version of iPhoto, actually in 2007, and just adjusting until it became almost like pixelated and very flattened and color, hyper-colorized. And then in undergrad, I just always worked with multiple versions of the same image. And when you lay those out, there starts to be a movement to it. It feels very, so the transition into work through working with multiples, working with time then kind of became this natural progression. And then in grad school, I wanted to do a film video program because I'm working with moving image and I had never studied it. I studied more a traditional approach. I kind of found my way, but I kept reducing with the imagery because people were asking me what it meant. You know, I have this video I took of mountains as I was driving through them, and I layer over this water imagery to give it texture and color. And people kept asking me like what the mountains mean. And the mountains are the mountains. They like have their own meaning already. I'm not adding symbolism. I'm not adding anything to it. Mm-hmm. So that distraction became really frustrating. So I kept reducing the imagery down to where it was doing, what I realized is that the optics of it, what was happening perceptually, was what was interesting to me in those videos. So I just kept reducing the imagery until there wasn't really any distraction left.
The importance of play for an artist, I think. It sounds
you're
playing with something to discover where it's going to go.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
I developed the mode of looking that I use, you know. Develop the mode of looking, develop the visual vocabulary. And I read a lot, you know, try to make those associations in my mind. And then when I'm in the studio, you kind of just let go and see what happens because I've already done the work to put some pathways in my brain already.
And there's got to be an element of surprise for you when you're working, I would imagine.
There's a lot of discovery. It's really exciting and fun. It can be very frustrating working with, you know, any kind of computer driven, especially animation. Sometimes it's very, very tedious. I want to make something happen in a certain way and I can't quite get it there. And it takes a lot of work, but there's a lot of discovery too.
You probably can't force it too much. No,
no. I mean, no, I was talking with my brother the other day that, you know, a challenge of being someone who's, you know, working full time and being an adult human who has to feed themselves and clothe themselves.
Darn it.
I know, right? And spend time with other humans. But spending enough time in the studio, it can't just be that I'm going in and I'm not just going in and performing whatever the action is that I already knew I was going to do. I have to have enough time to get bored and frustrated. And because otherwise, how is my brain going to solve any problems if I'm only doing what I expected to do? Like, there has to be time where I don't know what I'm doing, or else nothing new can come from it.
I'm Zinta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Artbeat, our weekly look at the creative arts. I've been speaking with digital light artist Pamela Hadley. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation, and join us every Friday at this time for Artbeat. Thanks for listening.